Today's meeting is for which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
thrown out. They came to the Jewish festivals. They even were allowed to come into the temple, but not into the main sanctuary. You can come in, but only so far, because these people didn't know a prelude from a postlude. They didn't know how to hold the bulletin correctly. They didn't obey the rules. They were not insiders. They were outsiders. They were not Jews. They weren't circumcised. They didn't dress properly. They did not fit in. They were allowed in, but not all the way in. There were limits. There were rules. There were laws to separate and divide to help those non-Jews stay in their place. Sir, we want to see Jesus. They probably said that in Greek, which is why they approached Philip. You will recall that Philip was a disciple who had a Greek name. He had grown up in Bethsaida, which had a lot of Greek immigrants. So in Greek, they said, we want to see Jesus. Today, those non-Jews, those foreigners, those Greeks, we might call them seekers, or we might say they are a part of our seeker service, or our contemporary service, or they're a part of our mission project. Philip tells his brother Andrew, and they both go and tell Jesus, some Greeks want to see you. And to that, Jesus says, it's time. It's easy to just rush past that. I want to invite you to just stop there for a minute and hear Jesus say, it's time. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It's time. The Jewish Pharisees saw all of this occurring and they said, looks like the whole world's following it. And it sure looked that way. It's interesting, though, as we pause to hear Jesus say it's time, to remember that throughout John's gospel thus far, it hadn't been time. We've been told repeatedly, it is not time. Chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding with his mother. There's a big crowd. His mom comes by and says, hey, they're out of line. Jesus said, she says to the others, whatever he tells you to do. You know the rest of that story. But don't forget, Jesus says, it's not time. Chapter 7, when it was almost time for the Jewish festival booths, Jesus' brothers tell him, why don't you just go over to Jerusalem to the public festival of booths so people can publicly see your great works. Jesus says, it's not my time. John said, right there, his brothers said this because even they didn't believe him. Chapter 8, Jesus is in the temple. It's early in the morning. They bring in that woman who has been caught in adultery, and Jesus says, all y'all got rocks in your hands, whichever one had the sin, go ahead and throw your rock. And everybody dropped their rock. And Jesus forgave the woman and told her, go and sin no more. Jesus claims to be the light of the world, and then he gets into an argument with the Pharisees. It's an argument over scripture, and yet no one arrests him because it is not time. Now these Greeks, these outsiders, these non-Jews show up, and it's time. Unless a grain of wheat. but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever serves me must follow me. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." When these outsiders show up asking to see him, he says, "It's time to be glorified. Some glory to be lifted up on a cross." It's hard to hear Jesus talk like this about the cross, but it's not a surprise, is it? You can't say the things Jesus said, and you can't do the things Jesus did and get away with it. The church and the government and people in general won't stand for it for very long. He will be lifted up. He will be crucified. Before this week is over, he will be nailed to a cross and die. He will die as a condemned criminal at the hands of humanity's highest religion and the world's greatest government. It's time. He says everyone, insiders, outsiders, will be drawn to him by way of the cross. When we draw near and look at the cross, we can no longer argue that we're down deep, basically good people, okay? We just don't sound convincing standing in front of the cross where Jesus hangs, trying to make an argument that basically we're good. Jesus was nailed to the cross on the basis of a whole host of otherwise noble human ideals and aspirations. According to the church, Jesus violated and misinterpreted scripture, and according to the government, he was a security risk. According to the government, he was a threat. You see, the cross is a sign of our sin and our salvation, a sign of the worst we can do to each other, and the best God will do for us. It is a sign that only God can help us see. It reminds us that our attempts, all of our attempts at self-salvation, are useless. Our salvation is in the hands of God, not ours. Our relationship to God is based solely upon something that God suffers and does, rather than upon something that we do. The cross is the supreme sign of how God gets what God wants. Can I tell you something? This may seem strange, but I'm going to confess it right here in front of you, God, and everybody visiting online. When Jesus uses the word "everyone," it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. As a child in Sunday school, Mrs. Goolsby taught us to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." I like that song. We had time to sing it together. Two or three times, maybe. It's a good song. It left me with the feeling, me and Jesus are tight. That's good. I like feeling that way. But we also learned another song, and that song said, "Jesus loves the little children